Morning. It's a wonderful, beautiful, awesome day to come together in the house of the Lord, and I'm excited to be able to worship with you today. And it's a very special day. This is National Women's Ministries Day, and so we have a very special service planned out for you, and I hope that you are encouraged as our ladies share their love of God and their love for you as well. So why don't you stand with me as we open with a word of prayer, and we will just bless his holy name as we get started. Lord, we're so thankful for this day. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for just shining in our hearts as well. As we come together in your name, we just pray for your anointing to be upon us as we honor you in song and as we listen to your voice through the sharing of the word and everything that's expressed today. We just give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's no space that his love can reach. There's no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. Take me in with your arms spread wide. Take me in like an orphan child. Never let go, never leave my side.
Just fine.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial. Never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. On and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies. satisfies my soul. And I never, ever have to be afraid. One thing remains. One thing remains. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love, your love. In death, in life, confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
Normally we do offering at this time, but we're going to put that off till later. So we'll just keep singing and worshiping God.
Amen.
On the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down, and every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battle, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chain, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him. The gates make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battle, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chain, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him. Stop the Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? 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 of the Lord. Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chain, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him.
Praise God. I think that song was made for this church. We got some Lion and Lamb banners up there. It's kind of neat. Amen.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night. You tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. Searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. So undeniable, I can hardly sleep. Be so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. Who you are,
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do dream, of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showed that God is love, and God is just. At the cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love I am, sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. Undeserved life have I been given through Christ crucified. You called me out of death, you called me into life, and I was under your wrath. Now through the cross and grace at the cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love I, sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. At the cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love I, sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. Your redeeming love, and how great is your faithfulness. At the cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. At the cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love I, sweetly broken, wholly surrendered.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can just be in your presence right now, God. Lord, just minister to us, we pray, God. Pray, God, that you would just touch us, touch our hearts right now, God. Lord, you let us respond to what you would have us respond to, God. Let us be open to it, Lord. Lord, you're just teaching us, Lord, right now what we need to do and where we are going, God. Pray, Lord, that we will minister to this community, minister to one another, God. That your spirit would just pour out itself out upon us, Lord. And you'd have your way, Lord, we to be obedient to how you would do that, God. Pray for the needs that are here in this church right now, that you would minister to them, God. You would touch them in a powerful way. Be with those here, God, that are going to be ministering here later on here in the service. We pray that you will just have that way, God. We ask for these things today, Lord. Pray for those who might need healing in their bodies right now. Whatever is going on with the pain that's happening and some things, Lord, you can take care of pain. And you can heal, Lord. We just hand that unto you, God, that you would take care of that, Lord. And trust in you. We thank you for that, God. We thank you for provision and, Lord, and how you lead us as to what directions we go. That we'd always remember you, God. And we do it unto you, God, so we can draw close to you. We ask that, Lord, that our purpose, Lord, for being here with you today and being with you, God, is so that we would get to know you better, God. A more intimate relationship with you, Jesus. We pray for that. Now, Lord, I just pray that you be with the rest of this service and you would minister in a mighty way, God. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys may be seated. Thanks for being here today. We're going to have National Women's Day in just a little bit here. We will do that. As far as the announcements go, if you would take a little bit of time and go through your bulletin when you have a chance. The one announcement here, I'm going to ask Ann to come up here for a moment because she needs to share something about next week here.
Next Sunday begins the ladies' Sunday school class downstairs, and if you did not get a book, I'm going to give you the scriptures you can study for this week. It's chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 20, and if you really go over that, you may have questions for us. And if you need a book and want to order, the clipboard's on the back counter, and just put your name down and how many books you want, because I think there's another order going in. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a good idea. It's Esther. So all you little orphans better be there.
All right. So ladies, that's happening next week. Enjoy it. At this time, I'm going to introduce Janice. If you want to come up here, she has a few words about the ladies here.
I have my old speech.
That's right.
Okay, can you hear me now? Yes. All right, green light, go. myself, Lou Toledo, Ann Engel, and Lou Rathbun. The vision for the ladies' ministry named Real Gals is relationships, encouragement, accountability, laughter, growing, and loving sisters in Christ. Real Gals seeks to discipline disciple ladies through Bible studies, mentoring, and encouragement, fellowship and service within the church and for the community. And some of the things that we were able to give to last year due to the generosity of several of contributors were $450 that we donated to Dinner Church, $450 to Child Bridge, and $450 to Child and Family Services. And there's other things that may come up throughout the year in the community, small needs to big needs, that can go from the Real Girls funds to these needs. And that's what it's all about. Real Gals meets every Tuesday every first Tuesday of the month at 2 o'clock. Anyone is welcome to come. And you all have a voice. You're important. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Janice. At this time, we are going to take the offering here. For normal tithes and offerings for the church here, it would be in the offering plate. For any donations to Real Gals, there's a basket right here. We're going to do that. And after the prayer, during the offering here, I'd like to excuse the children for Children's Church in that regard. So let's go ahead and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the privilege it is to be able to give. And Lord, that you would use it, Lord, both for within this church here for our offering, that we'd further your kingdom in whatever way you would lead us. And also, Lord, I pray that you will bless the offering for the ladies' ministry of this church, Lord, so that it can further your kingdom in that regard. We thank you now. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to see you all here today. It's encouraging and a blessing to see you. So we are going to do some door prizes for our ladies, and we are going to draw, so I'll let Anne. Did everybody get a ticket? All the ladies got a ticket? Yeah. Just want to make sure. The number is 776037. Raise your hand if you got that. Woohoo! Come on down. Good job. Oh, we need one more ticket back there. Okay, our next one, next ticket is 776042. Way up there, Kenzie. Kenzie, can you be my deliverer? Yeah. Jennifer won that. Next one is 776029. No. 29? Lou Toledo. That was three. Get one more. Hold your breath. Okay, the next one is 776024. 24? But he got one in a pocket? Two, four. What do we do?
Hmm? What does Pam have? Number. Okay, well, we're going to probably award it to Tori because nobody else is claiming it. So, okay, so we'll just put that off to the side. All right. And the next person is up, Lou Toledo. She's going to explain the skit.
Good morning, everyone. We have a little skit for you. It's short. And although it's Ladies' Day, we have guys as contestants, so this should be cute. So we're going to introduce everyone. And this young lady is going to help me. But before that, this is what's going to happen. The game is called Who is Real? So you get to be part of it. Pam's going to come up, and she's going to ask our contestants some questions. And after all the questions, she's going to ask you to vote to see who is real. And so you get to vote by raising your hand. So anyway, we're going to get to it. So here's our helper.
The first contestant is Scott. Come on out, Scott. Scott is so full of biblical knowledge. He served as a deacon. Oh, whoops. Okay. Taught Sunday school and likes Bible trivia. The contestant number two is Lloyd. Lloyd recently moved here from the West Coast. Where he has spent his non-working hours rebuilding a 1942 Harley Flathead, and upon retirement plans to take his wife on a long ride on Route 66. Woo-hoo. Contestant number three is Dean. Dean started his own work band while he was still in high school. After many years of successful touring all over Europe, he quit the band, returned home, and settled in new life, where he is part of the worship team. Contestant number four is Brian. Brian enjoys renovating old homes. He's a master carpenter and was recently contacted by the King of England to perform some repairs to the Buckingham Palace.
Surprise. Okay. Okay. So now for the introduction of the hostess. A host of Who is Real? Pam Freer. Pam Fryer. Fryer! Pam comes to us from intake, where she serves as its mayor. She devotes her time supervising her employees. They speak highly of her when she's not around. Pam comes out. All right. Pam comes out, and I give her the microphone.
She just breaking the ice for me. Welcome, contestants.
Howdy.
We are here today to do Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Mm. Well, that's not going to go well.
No, actually, that's not true. I just thought I'd see if they were okay with that. Well, anyway, welcome for coming and being a part of our little thing here. I will call your number and ask for your answer. Please answer each question clearly and in a timely manner. We will start with Scott. Looking pretty spiffy there today, Scott. Will that be your new look all the time?
Don't get used to it.
Okay,
made
you're
me do it.
First question, how does the Bible differ from other religious books?
Well, let me tell you, I know a thing or two about the Bible. 2 Timothy says, all scripture is breathed by God and is useful in teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible says it all, and I don't bother reading other heathen books.
Lloyd, same question.
Well, all the rest are just like self-help books. You know? You follow the formula, you get a reward. And our reward is heaven.
Dean?
Other religious books don't have the complete proven history that the Bible has. No other book comes close in comparison.
Brian?
Well, I've read a few religious books in the past, but none of them could bring me the... What's the word I'm looking for? None of them can bring me anything, but that word that I can't remember about the Bible, like the Bible.
Okay, question number two. Is there anything in the Bible that if you didn't know it was the inspired word of God, you would doubt that it really happened? We will begin with Dean.
Oh, how about the whole world covered in water and Noah floating in his little boat? I'm sure it was dark at night. Hey, Brian, what kind of lights did Noah have on the ark? Floodlights.
Sounds like a dad joke to me.
Yeah. Well,
Brian?
All that seawater makes me think of salt and the story of the gal that turns around and looks and turns to salt. So every time I turn around and look, I start thinking, am I going to turn to salt?
Lloyd?
Well, there's many fascinating stories in the Bible. That David and Goliath, though, I mean, who's slinging rocks? Like me and boys back in the day, there's no rock slinging. None. That's when it comes to mind.
Scott?
Well, if it's in the Bible, the inspired word of God, that's good enough for me. I don't have a difficult time believing what's in this. The weirder the story, the more faith it takes.
Thank you, guys. Question number three. What does the Bible say about heaven and earth? Brian.
Well, heaven's perfect, you know, kind of like where we are right now. But hell, on the other hand, that's a lot of suffering, never going to stop.
Ian?
Heaven is where Christians live forever with God. Hell is where nonstop suffering occurs with no hope to ever escape.
Scott?
Well, in short, Heaven is where true Christians will go to live. The Lord for all eternity. Hell is the abyss where all unbelievers will suffer forever. I can elaborate more if you prefer.
No, that's fine. Thank you. Contestant number two, go ahead with your answer.
Well, I think we all know this one. I mean, heaven is good, hell is bad. I mean, I hear a lot of people say they're going through hell. Let me tell you, you don't know pain like hell. We got it made.
Thank you, contestant number two. Question number four. Why do you think Jesus told parables instead of plain and to the point stories? Brian?
Well, if you're like me, I see things in my mind really well, and so it paints a picture. So the more stories you tell, it's easier to see and understand.
Lloyd?
Well, to bring it all down to a level we all can understand, like me, like, you know, I'm kind of hard-headed. That's what I think it does.
Dean?
I would say that in these types of stories, the characters are bold and the symbolism is rich in meaning.
Scott?
Well, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus asked his listeners to understand the intangible reality that they couldn't see with their physical eyes. That is, the kingdom of God is. He knew they would only engage this reality with the eyes and of their own hearts. So he chose to use stories, what we commonly call parables. To illustrate this meaning,
continue, illustrate.
Yeah. Come on.
Expound on that.
You know it all, let's see it.
Okay, moving on, guys. Question number five, name two of the nine fruits of the Spirit. Brian?
Oh, I know this one. Peace. That's the one I can remember.
Dean?
The first one is love. I told my boys, don't marry a tennis player. Love means nothing to them. I've heard it said that if you have love, the others will follow.
Lloyd.
One of them is love. I don't particularly remember the others. Although I'm reminded quite often by my wife that patience is, you know, something I should practice a lot more. Like, you know, when people cut me off at work. Yeah, I need patience.
Scott?
Lots of it. Lots of patience.
Scott?
Well, okay, love, joy, peace, patience, which you don't have, kindness,
I'm trying,
goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Self-control.
Okay, thank you. Contestant number one, I asked for two. I see that you know them all. Good for you. Moving on. Question number six. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. How do you fight or protect yourself against the attacks of the enemy? Contestant number two, Lloyd.
Well, I'd like to take him in the back alley and beat him senseless. But it doesn't always work that way, so I just sit and pray.
Scott?
Every morning before I get out of bed, I put on my armor of God. Ephesians tells us to stand firm, Then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of the righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition...
Thank you, Scott. We need to move on.
What?
Please give your answer, contestant number three.
Sometimes a quick prayer, other times praying, fasting.
Brian?
So when I deal with something like that, I like to meditate. Sometimes I'll get in my car and go for a drive with a dozen of my best friends.
12 best friends?
No, I just go to Reynolds and get a dozen donuts.
So you eat what bugs you? Okay. Well, now it's time for the audience to vote on who they believe the true Christian is, weighing their answers. By a show of hands, who believes that the true Christian is contestant number one?
Wow.
Okay, contestant number two.
Come on, come on.
Well, he's got more votes.
Some love. Get some love.
Yeah. Number three.
Come on.
Oh.
Wow, look at that.
Wow. Number four.
Everybody likes donuts. Come on.
There you go. You got some votes. You got some
Will votes. The real Christian please stand up? These contestants are all born-again Christians. Each one of us is unique. We don't all look alike, thank God, or express ourselves in the same manner, but we have all been fashioned by God, uniquely designed and created for a purpose. Here's something to think about. He could have created you and deposited a dream inside of your heart, but maybe he did it the other way. Maybe he had a dream to accomplish first and wrapped it specifically and uniquely in you. Well, thank you guys for your help today. And now Lou and Ann will continue on with the door prizes. But I would like to say that the Real Gals has got a wonderful leadership committee, and they do a lot for this church, and it's greatly appreciated.
Okay, here we go again. Get your tickets out. 776046. 46. June. Junie wins. And we got a couple, few more here. 776030. 30. Three, 30. Somebody's got a ticket. Is that you? It's Annie. Go. Seven, 76050. That's Sandy one. That was Sandy, huh? Okay, we got two more to go. Somebody didn't claim their other one. 776044. 44? Yeah, it's Yvonne. Oh, I won. No, just kidding. 776048. Oh, Stephanie. Yeah. Thank you guys for participating. So now I'm going to turn it over to Janice.
Thank you, Ann and Lou, for doing that and passing out the prizes. I think that was a lot of fun. And thank you. Can you all hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. Thank you, Lou, for putting on the skit together. Wasn't that a great job? I loved it. What a brilliant idea. And thanks, Pam, for your willingness to help and being the MC. You did a great job. Yep, give her a hand. And thanks to the guys who participated in this skit. Woo-hoo! You know, the skit just goes to show that God can use anyone. Wow. Yeah. The difference in each life displays God's unique artistry. Anyone in any walk of life can be used for Christ. While putting the message together, the devil was really working me over. You're giving the message? Ha! That's a joke. Well, I even had to laugh. But God can indeed use anyone. Anyone if they are willing. God prepared me for this time. Before I was in a relationship with a very controlling husband for 20 years. But when he passed away, I didn't even know who I was. I lost my identity. But through it all, God had his purpose. In it all for my good, I was being refined in the furnace of fire for his service. But God brought Kevin into my life. What a blessing, dear, you've been to me. He allowed me to be myself, to be free, without any conditions. And that was just wonderful and exciting. A brand new chapter of my life had opened up. I worked in activities, which also helped me not to be afraid to speak. So here I am, created for purpose. I first intended to use the book, Created for Purpose, but Annie, my dear friend, agreed to hold a Bible study next month using the book. So I didn't want to steal her thunder. So the Holy Spirit gave me new thoughts on the same subject. I want to encourage you ladies to attend the Bible study starting next Sunday at 9 o'clock downstairs. I know that Anne is going to do a great job. Thank you, Annie. God created you for purpose. I'd like to open up in prayer. God Almighty, I thank you, Lord, for this crowd that's here, for the listening ears. God, I pray for the Holy Spirit to have freedom to move through this congregation and those that are listening online. I pray for a special anointing. Help me to deliver the message. Put the words in my mouth, the thoughts in my mind. Open ears to hear and hearts to receive. In Jesus' name I pray and give you all the glory. Amen. Created for purpose. Philippians 1:6. And I'm certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. God is always working in our lives, even when we can't sense it. Sometimes you must go through various trials in preparation to be used in the future. Looking back in my life, I see how God was preparing me for the future. In Romans 8:28, We know that God causes everything to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Things work together for our good according to God's purpose, not our own. He knows what is best. Seek God's will, not your own, in every situation. Be fully surrendered to his will. Ask God to show you what he wants you to learn from whatever he sends your way. Don't focus on your problem, focus on God. He is working for you. Oftentimes, when we have different things going through in our life, hardships, sickness, financial woes, whatever it might be, we just want it all to end. And that's common. And we ask for prayer, which is good. But in essence, God brought that into your life for a reason. And not just for the end of it all to go away, but in every situation that goes on in your life that God allows, he has a reason. And so stop and think, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? Because it's only through trials that we can really grow and build character and understand the values of Christianity. God had a plan for our lives before we were even born. The world does not have the answer for a fulfilled life. I thought back in my early years, way back, I thought Christianity was full of hypocrites. That's what I experienced in the church I grew up in, and I didn't want to have anything to do with Christianity. And so I thought, I'll find my own fulfilled life. I tried everything. And all the different things that I ventured on trying just left emptiness. There was nothing fulfilling in it. It's only when I put my trust in God that he had showed me that there's much more than the world can offer. He offers a better life. And so much of the world will tell us different. The popular thing nowadays is to be called a selfie, right? It's all about you and what you can have for happiness in your own life and your own goals. That doesn't bring happiness, though. To live a Christian way, it's learning to serve others. That's where you bring happiness into your life. For I know the plans I have for you, in Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Do not let others make decisions for your purpose. Maybe your parents tried to make decisions for you, what you should do, what you should become. Other your friends or family, they might try to guide you in what you should do. Seek God. Do not let the world's attractions lure you to make the wrong decisions for your purpose. So many people, the world, will look at famous people. We'll look at football heroes. We look at movie stars. Oh, if I could only be like that, and we envy them. Don't do that. That's making the wrong decision. And do not let monetary goals lead you astray either. So many people work all their lives to accumulate all this money, and what is it worth in the end? You can't take it with you. And it's an unfulfilled life. It's true, we need to make a living. We all do. I mean, there's expenses. Things are getting very, very expensive, just the basics to live. And perhaps you're not able to find the best job. But do the best at it anyway that you can. Or if you are retired or not employed and you feel your life is mundane, seek God's purpose. He can make life meaningful. I was thinking when I was a CNA. It's very hard work, and I think some of you ladies here have been CNAs. You know what I'm talking about. But it's also I found very rewarding, because the Lord spoke to my heart, and that can apply to any of you, that when you look at whatever you can do as a ministry, as doing it unto the Lord, it changes your perspective. It's not work anymore. In the lowliest of tasks, you say, Lord, I'm as doing this as unto you. It changes things. It doesn't become a burden anymore. It becomes a joy. In Colossians 3, 23 through 24, work hard and cheerfully at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward and the master you are serving in Christ. Do not compare the lives of others and envy their lives. Too often we have a habit of doing that. Oh, if I could only be like that person. Oh, if I could only have their riches, if I could only look like them, if I could only have their house, whatever it might be. We're not to envy them. Do not let your own desires replace God's desires for your life. God knows better than we know ourselves, and he knows exactly what we need. We think we need this, that, or the other, but God says, you know, that isn't really the best thing for you. What I have for you is going to bring true happiness. Even if it isn't as easy at first, you're going to find to be blessed in the end by following my way. And true happiness is found in God's unique individual design for you alone. Each one of you have a unique purpose that God created you for. No one else can tell you what that is. And you can't figure it out on your own. But when you take it up with the Lord, he's going to show you your unique purpose. And when you find that unique purpose, you're going to be the happiest with it. That does not mean when you, God will give you the desires of your heart. In Psalm 37:4, take the delight in the Lord, and he will give your heart's desires. Now, some people might take the wrong meaning, or some preachers on TV, oh, well, your heart's desire, if you want a new Cadillac, you know, this is what you need to do, give me money, right? Or have a fancy home, that's your desire? Well, it could be that God could give you those things, but God is the one who gives you the right desire. And then, when it's God's desire, it will be fulfilled. So when you ask the Holy Spirit and check your own desires, Lord, and I pray this way myself, I pray that my own desires might be in harmony with your desires. Because when they are in harmony, there is peace. And peace is such a strong evidence that you're on the right track. If you're going the wrong way, if you're making these decisions or trying to pursue something that isn't God's will for your life, you're not going to have peace. You're going to have unrest. You're going to have anxiety. But if you're on the right track, check yourself. Am I anxious? Am I nervous? Am I apprehensive? What's wrong, Lord? Maybe I'm going the wrong direction. Maybe I'm making the wrong decisions. But then when you get on track with the Lord showing you, you'll have peace. And when you have peace, you're knowing you're making the right decision. And don't allow the devil to fill you with lies. Oh, he's good at that. He comes around saying, you can't do that. You're not good enough. Someone else can do that. Not you. You're a failure. Look, the last time you tried something, you failed big time. What would people think? The more you need approval from other people, the more likely you are to live an unhappy and dissatisfied life. God uses people who fail. If you read the Bible, you'll find all kinds of incidents where people have failed. But failure is not the end. God can create miracles out of your mistakes. The way you react to failure is much more important than the failures themselves. Failure isn't final. God will give you the desires that uniquely suit you, and it is He that will enable you to do them. Philippians 2:13, God is working in you, giving you the desires and the power to do what pleases Him. I like it in the Amplified version in translation, Galatians 6:9. Have you lost your senses? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? So many times we try to do that until finally we get so burned out and exhausted. God, help me. I've been here all along. Stop trying so hard. Give it to me. I'll help you. I'll enable you. Trying to achieve your own purpose on your own strength, you will fail. When you totally yield yourself and submit to God, good results will come. God wants each of us to be obedient to what He asks of each of you. Romans 14:12. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. Our lives are accountable to God. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. Our lives are meant to be lived for God. In the story, 1 Peter 4:10, God has given talents to each of you from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. All of you have probably heard the story of the 10 talents in Matthew 25:28-30. Then He ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what they will have will be taken away. Now throw the useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus uses a parable of the talents to help us understand our calling as Christians and our responsibility to use what God has given us to bring Him glory and honor. Don't become discouraged. Don't quit. The more you use what God gives you, even in the simple things, the easier it will become. Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we shall reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So many of us are afraid to venture out. We see someone else doing some things, saying, well, I can't be like that. But that's just the devil's lies. Jesus doesn't expect you to be like that certain person. But He does expect you to be the person God created you to be. And so just take little steps of faith and He'll show you little things. Maybe some little deeds, some act of kindness. But even if you mess up, He's ready to pick you up and try again. But don't stop. Don't be discouraged. Let God use you and fulfill the purpose that each one of you have. In Ephesians 1:18-19, and I pray this for everyone here, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which God has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance for you, and incomparable great power for all who believe in you. How many times I think about in my own life, I'm going to share a story. This was when I first became a Christian, and I was on fire for the Lord. I was witnessing to everybody and just telling them how great the Lord is, and so many people look at me like I lost my mind, poor girl. And so I thought, oh, Lord. And it was this time, shortly after, when I became a Christian, that my husband left me. And I thought, well, Jesus, I'm doing everything I can for you. And people look like I'm crazy. My husband left me. Are you even real? Haven't we all experienced that at some point in our time when we think that we're really doing things right and things don't turn out the way we think they should? Well, I take you back to summer. I lived in Wisconsin, and I was went out to the fields. Wonderful strawberries that you can pick without any of the chemicals on them. And I was working on them in the house, and I thought, well, I'll take a break and go outside. I lived in the country, and I had some chickens, and they were running around loose, and I saw that my chickens got into my flower bed. So I was taking after them with a pitchfork, running after them. I thought, you crazy girl? What good is that going to do? And the chickens are kind of like, I suppose they thought, crazy woman. So anyway, I thought, I'll look at the flowers, what I have left. It's my own fault. I didn't put a fence around them. So I looked what I could save. And the thought struck me as I picked up this one flower, and it folded in two. It just was limp. There was no dirt on the roots. Looking at it, it was dead. But the God, at that time in my faith, wanted to show me something. He wanted to show me his power. I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to take this wilted plant that I know is dead. I'm going to put it in the ground. I am not going to water it. I'm going to put the dry dirt over it, and I'm going to leave it. And so I did. I didn't water it. I went back in the house, finished my strawberries, and I went back to bed. The morning when I got up, I'm going to check that flower. There wasn't any dew. Where I put that dead flower was standing up perfectly straight with three blooms on it. And I thought, God, you are real. Despite what I can see or can't see, it doesn't matter because you are on the throne. Too often, we get our eyes off the Lord. We try so hard in our own effort, and because things don't work out in the way that we think they are, well, folks, things are going to get rough. In the future ahead, it's not going to get easier. And you know what? We need to be prepared. And how do we do that? Find your unique calling. Draw close to the Lord. Listen to his voice. Don't let someone else tell you. I mean, they might have some good ideas, but God has a better idea. And some might laugh at you. Some might scoff at you. But if you could have peace and say, Jesus, what would you have me to do? There could be a revival. And I long for that within our church, within our community. As Christians, we need to hear God's voice. We need to be willing to say, here am I, Lord. Use me. He can use any one of you. Don't lose focus. Don't look to someone else saying, well, I can't do it like them. You're not expected to. You're not expected to have someone else's calling. God chose each one of you uniquely, and he has a beautiful plan. And within his plan, trust me, when you walk with Jesus and his plan, you have peace. Everything else could be falling apart in your life. You could be poor, doesn't matter, going through different trials, but you can have joy in your heart when you follow his guidance, his way, his plan for your life. So I'm going to challenge you to seek out what God has for your life. And don't look ahead, take moment by moment. He'll show you each step of the way what to do, and he will enable you. And when you take that one step, and take another step and another step, there's going to be great miracles that'll happen and great peace and joy above understanding. So I'm going to challenge you. Seek God's purpose in your own unique life. You, each one of you, have gifts different from each other. Don't look to someone else. I wish I had this gift. I wish I had that gift. You have the gift God chose for you, and it's special and it's unique. And as a body of believers, wow, are we going to accomplish some things. If everyone would get on track with the Lord and do individually what God has called you to do, there's going to be some miracles. And you know what? There's going to be tough times ahead. No doubt, it's coming. But what do? Look to the Lord for strength. And I'm praying as a body of believers that new life will come into this church. And what it'll take? It'll take a bended knee. It'll take a willing heart to be able to be submitted to God's will for each one of your life. Keep your eyes off of someone else. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. He will show you your unique calling, and he will enable you. And he will fill you with complete joy and peace despite what is around you. Folks, things aren't always going to be easy. I'm sad the way things are going. Oh, one time in church is enough for Sunday, or it's hard to get people during the middle of the week, and oh my, Sunday evening, oh, that, wouldn't that be terrible? I want us to be fired up and ready when times get tough. And right now is a time for us to get right with the Lord. He has a divine, joyful purpose for each and every one of you. Find it. Get on your knees and ask Jesus to show you what your calling is and be obedient. You're going to have inner joy and peace that surpasses anything the world can give you. And that is my prayer for each one of you. Jesus, I pray that you would reveal to each one their divine calling. And you know what? When you're obedient, you're going to have that inner peace and joy that passes understanding. Don't let the devil, he'll be there to attack you. Oh boy, you can't do it. You're worthless. You can't. You look at the last time you failed. We all fail. We all will. Dust yourself off. Ask God to forgive you. Get on track. There's nothing like following Jesus in your unique purpose and calling for your life. Things can happen. I want things to happen in this church. I don't want us just to have new life as a name. I want to have new life as a purpose. I want to see miracles happen. I want us to be united. Each one has a unique calling. Find out that calling. Get on your knees and find out what your individual calling is. And ask God to supply. And you know what? There's going to be some fantastic miracles that are going to happen. Far surpassing anything that's going to happen in the world. That's what I pray for this church. I pray for the anointing on each one of these lives that are here. That you'll find inner peace and happiness that you've never knew before. Why? Because you're submitted to God's will and your unique calling. And oh boy, then the devil's going to be mad. But we, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So keep your focus on Jesus. Ask him what he wants you to do individually. And oh boy, there's going to be some dynamic times within this church. And so we're going to change the name up front. New life. I want new life to be vibrant in each one of us. That it isn't just going to be the sign. That it's going to be in each one of us that are going to have a new life. We're going to come to life. I see faces like, wow. Me? Can I do this? I want to hear about miracle after miracle. I want to have joy within this church. I want to have power within this church because we're connected with the source of all power and great things can happen. If the world falls apart, we've got it pretty good right now, but folks, things are going to get worse. And we need to be equipped. We need to be enabled to stand, and we need to have new life in this church. And oh boy, is it going to be exciting times then? When you can actually find God's purpose, God's power on each life. I'd like to close in prayer. God Almighty, I just pray that you might speak to each heart that's here. Help them open their ears to hear your voice. Help them to know individually what their calling is, that they're not going to be persuaded one way or the other by looking at someone else, that they would look to you and find their unique purpose. And Lord, give them the strength to continue on. And when they fall, you'll be always there to pick them up. I'm asking for new life in this church. I pray for a divine anointing on this church that it won't be just mere a name, but it'll be a name with power. That there's going to be a difference in lives here. There's going to be a difference in this church. And there's going to be a difference individually like nothing before. We need your power, God Almighty. I just pray that you might bless each one, help them to find their unique calling, and I pray for new life to be a part of this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.